OpenAI just dropped their O3 announcement on Friday, December 20th. It was the 12th day of their 12 days of Christmas announcements. And I'm beyond delighted about what this means for all of us in the AI space. This isn't just another incremental update. We're witnessing a fundamental shift in what AI can do. Listen carefully. When I ventured into AI in January 2023, as someone who ran a 100-person writing agency with over 60,000 completed client projects, I was skeptical. I knew AI was just detecting, generating, predicting, not originating, not creating, not innovating. But O3? This changes everything. We're looking at AGI. We're looking at a model that doesn't just match human performance. It exceeds it. I'm talking 87.5% on the ARC AGI benchmark, where humans score 85%, 87.7% on PhD level science questions, where human experts typically score 70%, a 2727 ELO rating in competitive programming. In October this year, when I started First Movers, I talked with owners of $100 million companies. They were taking their team from 85 down to 2 folks, assisted with agentic AI processes. This wasn't exaggeration. It was a preview of what's coming. It's bloodbath times, folks. And O3 is about to accelerate this transformation exponentially. The gap between companies that adapt and those that don't is about to become a chasm. To everyone who thought I was exaggerating when I talked about the AI revolution, this is why I've been pushing so hard for adaptation. This is why I launched First Movers. This is why I've been saying we need to get ahead of what's coming. The wealth transfer to the adapters isn't coming. It's happening now. Remember this, AI right now is the worst it'll ever be. Sit with that thought. Future's bright. Are you ready to become a first mover? Let's go. And now I want to share some important perspectives. First, we'll hear what YouTuber Matt Berman said. Second, insights from my good friend Dave Shapiro. Third, an explanation of the ARC benchmark. Fourth, ChatGPT's huge O3 announcement. And finally, a special message from me. Enjoy.
It is far better than anything else out there right now.
Really, what AI is proving is the theory of multiple intelligences. So, you know, these tools are already superhuman in that they can write faster than us, they can think faster than us. Many of them know more than we will ever know. So just in terms of raw knowledge, they're better at writing. I mean, I made a Claude style today that writes to a degree that I'm just not capable of. At least not, it takes many, many iterations, but it can do it in one shot. So semantic intelligence and those sorts of things. Humans with practice, we're still better at intuition and large scale pattern matching. You know, those kinds of things, maintaining coherence. Claude will sometimes become incoherent. But really what we're seeing is, particularly with O3, is we're solving reasoning and we're solving problem solving. And so taking a big step back, what this means is, this is just kind of my personal understanding of intelligence, is the universe is only so complex, right? There are, once you master math and physics and chemistry and coding, what else is there, right? Once you understand the basic building blocks of reality, there's not any more else to learn. Yes, these things can be recombined in infinite combinations. There's emergent characteristics, which means that there's technically infinite complexity to deal with. But at the same time, reality is very consistent. And so I guess the simplest way of saying it is AI is getting very close to circumscribing reality. AI is getting very close to mastering reality. And it's not just, you know, oh, well, it still has some gaps in what it can do. Sure, who cares, right? But, you know, I even saw Beth Jesos, Gil Verdun, saying, oh, embodied AI is going to solve everything else. No, it's not. Embodiment data makes no difference on solving, you know, advanced physics or nuclear fusion or antimatter reactors or those sorts of things. Ducks can move through the world. Your cat has better embodied data than you do. Orangutans and chimps have better embodiment data than you do. Human embodiment is in no way the way to solve intelligence. But yeah, so it's basically solving reality, and having a complete grasp of logic and reasoning and those sorts of things, which this is the kind of problem that you only need to solve once. Now, that being said, there could be an arms race where there's, you know, the ability to handle increasingly complex, you know, problems or narratives or whatever, but who cares? At the end of the day, if you have, you know, plants growing in the dirt, if you have energy to use and minerals to use, and you can recycle everything, you know, like, basically reality itself becomes the ground truth. And that is the shared sandbox that we're all in. And AI is on the cusp of mastering the rules of the game that we're all playing better than all humans combined. Now, let's just say, for instance, that O3 in aggregate is in like the 75th, or I guess the top 25th percentile of all humans in terms of all intellectual capabilities. It might be in the top 20th percentile or top decile or whatever, but in aggregate, there are still a billion humans that collectively can do way more than the AI can do. Okay, great. But then what happens when you scale it up, and what happens when this trend continues? So yeah, that's kind of my take on where we're at.
So ARC is intended as a kind of IQ test for machine intelligence. And what makes it different from most LLM benchmarks out there is that it's designed to be resistant to memorization. So if you look at the way LLMs work, they're basically this big interpolative memory. And the way you scale up their capabilities is by trying to cram as much knowledge and patterns as possible into them. And by contrast, ARC does not require a lot of knowledge at all. It's designed to only require what's known as core knowledge, which is basic knowledge about things like elementary physics, objectness, counting, that sort of thing. The sort of knowledge that any four-year-old or five-year-old possesses, right? But what's interesting is that each puzzle in ARC is novel, is something that you've probably not encountered before, even if you've memorized the entire internet.
Good morning. We have an exciting one for you today. We started this 12-day event 12 days ago with the launch of O1, our first reasoning model. It's been amazing to see what people are doing with that, and very gratifying to hear how much people like it. We view this as sort of the beginning of the next phase of AI, where you can use these models to do increasingly complex tasks that require a lot of reasoning. And so for the last day of this event, we thought it would be fun to go from one frontier model to our next frontier model. Today, we're going to talk about that next frontier model, which you would think logically maybe should be called O2. But out of respect to our friends at Telefonica, and in the grand tradition of OpenAI being really, truly bad at names, it's going to be called O3. Actually, we're not going to launch, we're going to announce two models today, O3 and O3 Mini. O3 is a very, very smart model. O3 Mini is an incredibly smart model, but still, but a really good at performance and cost. So to get the bad news out of the way first, we're not going to publicly launch these today. The good news is we're going to make them available for public safety testing starting today. You can apply, and we'll talk about that later. We've taken safety testing seriously as our models get more and more capable. And at this new level of capability, we want to try adding a new part of our safety testing procedure, which is to allow public access for researchers that want to help us test. We'll talk more at the end about when these models, when we expect to make these models generally available. But we're so excited to show you what they can do, to talk about their performance. Got a little surprise. We'll show you some demos. And without further ado, I'll hand it over to Mark to talk about it.
Cool. Thank you so much, Sam. So my name is Mark. I lead research at OpenAI. And I want to talk a little bit about O3's capabilities. Now, O3 is a really strong model at very hard technical benchmarks. And I want to start with coding benchmarks, if you could bring those up. So on software style benchmarks, we have Sweebench Verified, which is a benchmark consisting of real-world software tasks. We're seeing that O3 performs at about 71.7% accuracy, which is over 20% better than our O1 models. Now, this really signifies that we're really climbing the frontier of utility as well. On competition code, we see that O1 achieves an ELO on this contest coding site called Codeforces about 1891. At our most aggressive high test time compute settings, we're able to achieve almost like a 27-27 ELO here.
So Mark was a competitive programmer, actually still coaches competitive programming. Very, very good. What is your?
I think my best at a comparable site was about 2,500.
That's tough.
Well, I will say, you know, our chief scientist, this is also better than our chief scientist Jakob's score.
I think there's one guy at OpenAI who's still like a 3,000 something.
Yeah,
that'll be. Gets a few more months to enjoy.
Hopefully we have a couple of months to enjoy there. Great.
That's this model is incredible at programming.
Yeah, and not just programming, but also mathematics. So we see that on competition math benchmarks, just like competitive programming, we achieve very, very strong scores. So O3 gets about 96.7% accuracy versus an O1 performance of 83.3% on the AMI.
What's your best AMI score?
I did get a perfect score once.
All right.
So I'm safe. But yeah. Really what this signifies is that O3 often just misses one question whenever we test it on this very hard feeder exam for the USA Mathematical Olympiad. There's another very tough benchmark, which is called GPQA Diamond. And this measures the model's performance on PhD level science questions. Here we get another state of the art number, 87.7%, which is about 10% better than our O1 performance, which was at 78%. Just to put this in perspective, if you take an expert PhD, they typically get about 70% in kind of their field of strength here. So one thing that you might notice, from some of these benchmarks is that we're reaching saturation for a lot of them, or nearing saturation. So the last year has really highlighted the need for really harder benchmarks to accurately assess where our frontier models lie. And I think a couple have emerged as fairly promising over the last months. One in particular I want to call out is Epic AI's Frontier Math benchmark. Now, you can see the scores look a lot lower than they did for the previous benchmarks we showed. And this is because this is considered today the toughest mathematical benchmark out there. This is a data set that consists of novel, unpublished, and also very hard.
These are extremely hard.
Yeah, very, very hard problems. Even Terence Tao says, you know, it would take professional mathematicians hours or even days to solve one of these problems. And today, all offerings out there have less than 2% accuracy on this benchmark. And we're seeing with O3, in aggressive test time settings, we're able to get over 25%. Yeah.
That's awesome.
In addition to Epic AI's Frontier Math benchmark, we have one more surprise for you guys. So I want to talk about the ARC benchmark at this point, but I would love to invite one of our friends, Greg, who is the president of the ARC Foundation, on to talk about this benchmark.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Sam and Mark, thank you very much for having us today.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Hello, everybody. My name is Greg Camrad, and I'm the president of the ARC Prize Foundation. Now, ARC Prize is a nonprofit with the mission of being a North Star towards AGI through enduring benchmarks. So our first benchmark, ARC AGI, was developed in 2019 by Francois Chollet in his paper on the measure of intelligence. However, it has been unbeaten for 5 years. Now, in AI world, that's like, it feels like centuries is where it is. So the system that beats ARC AGI is going to be an important milestone towards general intelligence. But I'm excited to say today that we have a new state-of-the-art score to announce. Before I get into that, though, I want to talk about what ARC AGI is. So I would love to show you an example here. ARC AGI is all about having input examples and output examples.
Well, they're good.
They're good? Okay. Input examples and output examples. Now, the goal is you want to understand the rule of the transformation and guess it on the output. So, Sam, what do you think is happening in here?
Probably putting a dark blue square in the empty space.
See, yes, that is exactly it. Now, that is really, it's easy for humans to intuitively guess what that is. It's actually surprisingly hard for AI to know, to understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. So I want to show one more hard example here. Now, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. What do you think is going on in this task?
Okay, so you take each of these yellow squares, you count the number of colored kind of squares there, and you create a border of that list.
That is exactly it. And that's much quicker than most people, so congratulations on that. What's interesting, though, is AI has not been able to get this problem thus far, and even though that we verified that a panel of humans could actually do it. Now, the unique part about ARC AGI is every task requires distinct skills. And what I mean by that is we won't ask, there won't be another task that you need to fill in the corners with blue squares. But we do that on purpose. And the reason why we do that is because we want to test the model's ability to learn new skills on the fly. We don't just want it to repeat what it's already memorized. That's the whole point here. Now, ARC AGI version 1 took 5 years to go from 0% to 5% with leading frontier models. However, today, I'm very excited to say that O3 has scored a new state-of-the-art score that we have verified. On low compute for O3, it has scored 75.7 on ARC AGI's semi-private holdout set. Now, this is extremely impressive because this is within the compute requirements that we have for our public leaderboard, and this is the new number one entry on ARC AGI Pub, so congratulations
to
that.
Thank you so much, yeah.
Now, as a capabilities demonstration, when we ask O3 to think longer and we actually ramp up to high compute, O3 was able to score 85.7% on the same hidden holdout set. This is especially important. 87.5, yes. This is especially important because human performance is comparable at 85% threshold. So being above this is a major milestone. And we have never tested a system that has done this or any model that has done this beforehand. So this is new territory in the ARC AGI world. Congratulations with that.
Congratulations for making such a great benchmark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I look at these scores, I realize I need to switch my worldview a little bit. I need to fix my AI intuitions about what AI can actually do and what it's capable of, especially in this O3 world. But the work also is not over yet, and these are still the early days of AI. So we need more enduring benchmarks like ARC AGI to help measure and guide progress. And I am excited to accelerate that progress, and I'm excited to partner with OpenAI next year to develop our next frontier benchmark.
Amazing. You know, it's also a benchmark that we've been targeting, been on our mind for a very long time, so we're excited to work with you in the future.
Worth mentioning that we didn't we targeted and we think it's an awesome benchmark. Yeah. We didn't go to specific
work for this.
This is just, you know, the general O3. Yeah. But yeah, really appreciate the partnership, and this was a fun one to do.
Absolutely. And even though this has done so well, ArcPrize will continue in 2025, and anybody can find out more at arcprize.org.
Great. Thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You made it to the end of this video. I'm going to drop a potential bomb. Maybe you saw this coming. Maybe you didn't. So a lot of you in the comments are starting to speculate that I am AI. Some of you have said that Dave Shapiro created me as another AI form in which to disseminate information. I love the speculation, but I want to tell you something crazy. Everything you just watched from me in the first part of this video, before we got into the clips from OpenAI, the clips from the other YouTuber I quote, the audio from Dave Shapiro. So in that first clip where I'm talking, none of that I filmed or said. That was my AI clone. We're at a time where generative AI alone, I'm talking models like OpenAI's O3 releasing soon, but right now we're using the O1 Pro, HeyGen's digital avatar, 11 Labs PVC, professional voice clone. We're at a time where we can get such high-res capabilities out of generative AI, we don't need to ask any longer, can we clone ourselves? Because I just proved to you that it's possible. Again, another milestone proving that by all definitions, AGI is here. And it's simply up to us how to steward it. And the entirely wrong question you could be asking right now is, how many jobs will this take? How much will I lose? How much do I stand to not gain? Instead, you should be asking, how can I adapt my life to a better work paradigm? What if I could have a marketing strategy that beat out every competitor? And what if I could generate it in seconds with the right AI model and the right process? Oh my gosh, that begins to open up your world. So stop stressing out. Stop believing the Skynet narrative. As most of you know, I shared in a former YouTube video that I have a book releasing Christmas Day called Liberation Through the Machines. It will flip the narrative on its head in a fiction tale written by AI, guided, edited, ideated by me. And I think this fiction will blow the lid wide open on how you see AI and the capabilities of it. Honestly, we don't need some evil and some good Terminator. We don't even need to think in terms like that. Instead, we need to be asking this one question. How do I harness AI to remove the biggest time, energy, and soul sucks in my business and my life? When you begin to ask that question and you are open, most importantly, to changing everything about the way you've lived, functioned, worked, then my friend, you're going to set yourself up for success in the new age that's coming. So from my digital clone and myself, welcome to the future. If you'd like to become a first mover in your industry, go to firstmovers.ai. We'd love to discuss over a consultation how we can help you move into the new age. And we'd love to give you a detailed analysis about the next moves you could make that will make you a first mover in your industry. So that said, welcome to the future. It sure is bright. The powers inside artificial intelligence are up for grabs, and it's how we harness and approach it that's going to make all the difference in our business, our lives, this great transfer of wealth we're looking at, etc. Friends, it's a great time to be talking on these topics. I am beyond glad that I trusted my gut and invested the thousands of hours I've put in now into reading books on AI, studying what's coming, watching the top keynotes, podcasts, talks, you name it, getting with incredible bright minds like Dave Shapiro and understanding what is coming towards us. I truly did not think it would be impossible to see AGI in 2024. In fact, after talking to some experts who have their ear to the ground inside development scenes, it was around this fall I began to believe that AGI may already be here. We just have yet to see its slow release. And the O3 model from OpenAI, yeah, it's reflective of AGI. So my friends, again, welcome. Hit subscribe. I don't know what else to say. I'm freaking delighted. This age of technology is going to be so bright. Yeah, there are dangers. Yeah, we're going to have responsibility with how we handle the greatest and last invention mankind has ever made. But if you're an opportunist, that should be thrilling. So I look forward to seeing you down the next rabbit hole.